old people be taking some stuff real serious. So, as you know, and as some of the listeners know, I've been hanging out at the old people home, you know, hanging out with my grandpa and whatnot. Well, today, they had the 4th of July cornhole tournament. Bro, them old, I've never seen people get so enthused about cornhole. I never saw old people get into fights like I did about cornhole neither.
What were they fighting about?
About the points and stuff. So I didn't really know much about cornhole, like how it was scored and whatnot. And I swear, because they're all, it kind of changed every time. Like if you got a cornhole, like, you know, you got it in the hole, sometimes it was 2 points, and then sometimes they'd be like, no, it was 3 points. And I'm like, okay, but last round it was 2, so I don't know. But anyways, they'd be like, no, that was our point. That was our point. And it's like, no, it wasn't. That was our point. And they got into all these fights, bro. And there was one where the activities director had to come and like break it up because the two dudes were like in each other's face. And they were like, are you serious?
Yeah, no way.
They were in each other's face, and they were just like, they were pointing, like the other guy was pointing back there, and he was going, man, that was my point. Look at that. That's 1, 2, 3. You can't count, can you? And he's like, oh, I can count. You're the one that can't see. Maybe you need to get better glasses. Started going back and forth. And then, so the activities director comes out there, and she had to settle it. She was like, okay, now, and I'm going to use a different name. She's like, okay, now, John, that was actually his point. And the guy that got the point, like the team that got the point, he was like, see, you couldn't see anything, could you? You couldn't see nothing. You couldn't see, and he started going off. The other guy points back and he goes, I'm listening to her, not your stupid ass. And I was like, oh, man, they got heated. It was quite entertaining.
It just reminds me of how we used to fight on the
playground.
On the playground, yep. When we play like football or something.
Dodgeball.
It's like, no. That was more than 5 Mississippi, no rush. No. Yes, it was. You were above the line.
It's like, I said lock on ball. You shouldn't have walked up there. Yeah, exactly. It's all that.
And then the teacher has to get involved.
Yeah, and then they're going, what in the heck are you two talking about? And then come to find out it's something really dumb. But yeah, man, I'm telling you, they get so competitive. Apparently, I had heard from some of the other people, it's a once a year tournament. They have it like every year at the 4th of July at this place. And apparently, there are multiple people that train all year for this. Like that is their sport, and they come down there and expect. So it's like tense and heated. They like make everybody be quiet and everything. It's pretty crazy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast. Well, man, you gotta love 4th of July. You gotta love that at the senior living home. I mean, really and truly, what it is they don't have much control over a lot in their life, but that is the one thing they have to look forward to. So they take it real serious.
They take it real serious, really serious. And it wasn't even for money. It's just bragging rights. And I mean, apparently they had been practicing all year for it and all sorts of stuff. Craziness. But man, it's been pretty cool. It's been great. As you alluded to last episode, man, we're on all the continents besides Antarctica. So, you know, shout out to Trash Can all across the world. And Antarctica, you got to get on board because it's a great podcast. But hey, you know, we're grateful for everybody that we have listening to us every single week. So shout out to you guys. But it's our free flow episode. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yes. And we've done this one before, but we're going to let AI generate some questions, and whatever questions they generate, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to just use those as jumping off points. It's not because we're lazy. We just figured, hey, AI is here and we got to use it. I heard this quote in Moneyball, which if you've never seen Moneyball, it's great. But basically it said adapt or die. And I was like, man, that's like a really good piece of advice because it's true.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, a lot of people think AI is scary. For somebody who's in the tech world, it still has a long way to go. It does have some great features, and there are some scary prospects with it. But at the same time, you got to admit, it's pretty darn handy. And I'm pretty sure a lot of kids in college right now are writing their papers exclusively through ChatGPT or something like that. I don't think anybody's writing their papers anymore.
Are you ready to get started?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to ask the first one?
I do. I don't remember if we asked this the first one, so if we did, I apologize. But what's a book or movie that changed your perspective on life, or maybe it was impactful for you?
Oh, I can already tell you. It was I Am Legend. That movie was impactful for me. Now, I think that was probably because at that time, I had seen other pretty crazy movies, but that was the one that I remember, like, really me being about the storyline. I mean, I even, like, MySpace back then, when MySpace was this thing, there was a way that you can HTML code your page, you know, and do different things. I remember, like, when that movie came out, I even had, like, the little countdown to when it would become nighttime outside, and then my page would change into, like, zombies and stuff. It was pretty nuts. Or not zombies, but the vampire stuff.
I feel like maybe from, what was that, 2008 to, like, 2012, there was a big fascination or obsession with zombies. Because think about it, like, what was it called? Zombieland, Walking Dead, World War Z, I Am Legend. I feel like that was, like, a big zombie phase.
Yeah, it definitely was. You know, there's definitely phases. There was, like, a zombie phase, and then, yeah, for sure. I remember a big ninja phase for a while. A lot of people like ninja. Anyways, zombies. But yeah, I had this countdown on my MySpace and everything based off of that movie. And I don't know, probably it was because of, I had never seen a midnight premiere. That was the first midnight premiere I went to. Think about this. I was 6th or 7th grade the first time I saw it. And, you know, 6th and 7th grade, yeah, you're a little bit more mature, but, like, you don't want to admit it, but things scare you, right? Things still definitely scare you like you're a kid. You're kind of in that in-between phase. And, man, I remember midnight premiere, and we come out, and so my maternal unit, she left. She thought it was going to be a not-so-scary movie. And, I mean, 15 minutes in when they're in the warehouse, she's already like, give me the keys, I'm leaving. So she left, and, man, I just remember she didn't come back for a long time, and we stood on the curb outside of Regal Cinemas over there, and it was scary because it's like we just watched this movie where all this stuff comes out at night. Here we are in the pitch black at night. But, bro, I just remember that movie was just really impactful. I guess it was probably because of I'd never seen pop-ups like that. I'd never seen violence like that, and it really made me consider and what would happen because being the good Christian boy that I was, I always had the fear, kind of like the Left Behind, of everybody would get raptured and you'd be left behind. And I kind of, at the time, equated that to what I Am Legend was like. Like, you would be the only one left and everybody else would basically, but that's not really how it is. But at the time, that's how it impacted me.
I think for me, it wasn't like the movie or book itself, but I think just pieces of advice that I got from it. So for me, To Kill a Mockingbird, that was an impactful book for me, because there's one quote that Atticus says that, like, you never really understand someone until you, like, put yourself in their shoes, or, you know, and so that was like, man, that's kind of a piece of advice that I've tried to live, and I always think about, especially when I'm mad. And then Training Day, it's the quote that says, it's not about what you know, it's about what you can prove. And I live by that, bro. I screenshot everything. I document everything because I'm like, you know,
save
what?
Emails, that's factual. Everything.
That's very factual.
Yeah, man. Especially because in this day and age, and we've talked about this, and I'm not going to get into, but some people be trying to sully your name, try to insult your character, and say that you be doing this and that. But if you got that proof, it makes it all go away.
For sure.
All right, man, you ready for this next question? So the first one it came up with, we asked the last time. What is something, and I think I already know the answer to this, but what is something that you're currently obsessed with?
I wouldn't say obsessed with. I do love the WWE, and I do love wrestling and wrestling knowledge, man, but it's not a obsession more than a fascination with cults. I have, like, a huge fascination with cults. Like, I just wonder how they, like, get started and how they shift really quickly, because most of the time cults follow, like, a typical pattern where they start out with this group of people and what they're believing is pretty much true, and then there's something that just, like, switches, and then all of a sudden it turns into a cult. And then, of course, with cults comes, like, financial scandal, you know, sex scandals, all that stuff. And so I'm just always curious, like, how did this cult become, go from being a group to being a cult? So that's something I think I'm fascinated with.
I'll tell mine in just a second, but springing off of yours, what's interesting about the cult bit is if you study gangs, gangs are a lot the same way. Most of your major gangs, Bloods, Crips, they all started because they were just trying to protect their neighborhood from a lot of racism and violence that was happening. And so a lot of it was started, I wouldn't necessarily say for a good cause, but it was to protect each other and things like that, right? And then it became turf wars, selling drugs. You got to make money somehow, right? And especially if you're doing it, it just, it's weird how it starts off with good intentions and then the road just becomes very skewed down the line.
And I wouldn't say that the way we grew up, we didn't grow up in a cult, but the way we grew up had maybe some cultish tendencies. And so I always want to make sure I never like fall back into that way of thinking again. So anyway, sorry. What is your obsession?
I think part of what's fascinating, I'm going to one more thing here. I think part of what's fascinating, and you talk about, you know, our past and things like that, I think it's because it's somewhat relatable in a lot of these instances about how some of these people can get sucked into some of these things. Some of my obsession going off of that, one of the things I'm obsessed about, it's similar but different, dictators. Dictators very, very much fascinate me about the Kim family in North Korea especially. It's very interesting, you know, and the question that I have, especially being in somewhat of an environment to where you can relate to something like that, are those people really brainwashed to the point where they think these things? Or are they just so oppressed that they're forced to feel these things, they have to say that, or they end up in camps? Where's the line, right? Because for me, I know some people have, I'm sure it's a mix, right? I'm sure some people are 100% sold on the ideas, and I'm sure some people see right through it, but don't have a choice. It's just kind of that weird line for me that's like, okay, are you brainwashed, or are you just having to go through the motions? And I don't know why that fascinates me in that bit. But kind of to a similar note.
Who is the most fascinating dictator for you?
Again, the Kim family, all three of them. The dad, Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-il, and then now Kim Jong-un. Even Kim Jong-un's sister, who's pretty much running the show. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think Kim Jong-un's doing that. He's the front because they don't want to have a woman running things, and that's not a good look for them in their mind. But the sister is ruthless, man. If you ever look her up, she's pretty ruthless. Anyways, I think what's interesting to me about them, to go into that, is they tell their people one thing, but then they're doing something completely opposite, and it's right there in their face, but then somehow they're still worshipped. I'm not saying that that's what I want or I would want to know how to do, but that just fascinates the mess out of me because we see that in other facets of life. Heck, we're even looking at it in this election, and we're going into some touchy stuff, but my thing is, like, Donald Trump, the dude just got convicted, right? And yet people love him. People are almost borderline worshiping this man. And you're sitting here, and he can do all this bad stuff right in people's face. And they're like, oh, nope, he had to do that. And it's like, it just is mind-blowing to me. And so the Kims are the same way. You know, they for a long period, they had prohibition, right? You couldn't drink any alcohol. But at the same time, the Kim family was one of the biggest importers of cognac in the world, right? So it's like, it's interesting. They won't allow Western movies. They won't allow Western media. Kim Jong-il had one of the largest DVD collections and movie collections of anybody on the planet. And you know what one of the movies he had was? It was Team America, where he was represented. That's the question. If I could ask him anything without getting killed, and of course he's dead, but it's like watching that movie where you saw Little Kim, the little puppet, what did you think of the representation of yourself? You had to like it. You kept the movie. So, you know, I mean, it's just weird to me, and it's fascinating. I don't know how to describe it.
For sure, for sure. All right, next question. What is a common misconception that people have about you?
This is a very simple one. Music genres. People get so shocked when I know rap music primarily, or like hip-hop music. I don't know. People never expect that out of me. I don't know why. I guess it's because I'm pasty white. I have no clue. But talk about hip-hop music. Talk about some of the other stuff. I'm trying to think. Another common misconception is, and this is a hard one, it goes a lot, it's pretty deep, is a lot of people take my kindness for weakness, if that counts in this so many people think, oh man, he's nice, so he's a pushover. And that's a misconception. I mean, probably in the past, and there's probably some things that I'm probably too lenient on still, but come a long way in standing up for myself. And so I think that's still the common misconception is, oh man, I can get one over on this guy. You can try it. We'll see. I don't know. I'm sure you've had to combat that a little bit too.
Oh yeah, a lot of people think that because I'm quiet, they underestimate me and like what I could do. And so like especially in my field of work, like whenever I get on a stage and like teach or preach, people are like, I had no idea that came out of you. Like you're so quiet and this and that. And I'm like, yeah, like a lot of people underestimate me. And I've been kind of like underestimated my whole life, so I'm used to it, but yeah, I think a lot of people just underestimate what I can do. I think also a lot of people are surprised when I'm as funny as I am. They're like, you're really funny. We had no idea. And I'm like, yeah. Like, it just takes me a while to warm up to people, you know?
Yeah, especially to a group. Yeah, for sure. And I understand that. I mean, I've been shut down enough to the point where it's like, yeah, you only want to make jokes in front of people you know are going to take it well. ChatGPT came up with some from the last time, too. I think we asked that one, too, but I'll ask this one again if we've asked this one. What is a skill or hobby that you've always wanted to try but
A
haven't?
skill or a hobby that I've always wanted to try. Like I've said, I've wanted to do parasailing,
I know skydiving was one too, right?
skydiving. I've wanted to do skydiving. Man, honestly, a hobby. I really want to get into like ATV, like four wheelers. Like, I feel like that would be pretty fun.
Yeah, it's fun stuff. It's fun stuff. Yeah, I don't blame you there. I've done ATV, so I can't say like I'd like to get back into it, but this is never done. I think my obvious choices were I've flown a plane. I think I'd want to fly a float plane. I've always wanted to do that, where you can land on land or water. You know, I've always thought the idea of being able to land on water and go fishing for the day sounded really good. It's a very expensive day to go fishing, but hey. And then I think for me, I like the idea of skydiving. It's just hard for me to get into it, man. It's hard for me to work my way up to it. But I don't know. I think for me, this is not necessarily a hobby that we haven't done, but more specifically, I still want to ride King to Ka, the big roller coaster in New Jersey.
What is one skill that you think everyone should learn and why?
I think everyone should learn empathy and how to. I know that's kind of a. Would you consider that skill? I think it's a skill. If you can feel where somebody else is. Do you think so? 'Cause to me I feel like it's if you have good empathy or have empathetic skills, then you can read rooms, you can read people a little bit better, and you can react to them and understand where they are, you know? 'Cause I feel like the biggest disconnect is we're not understanding where the other person's at.
I think some people just lack the ability to even learn that though. You know what I mean? Like
Oh, for sure.
everybody can learn how to make a grilled cheese sandwich, but like learning empathy, I think that's one that not everybody can learn.
I guess that's true. And for what's hard is for me, that doesn't make sense in my mind, right? Because I feel empathy and things like that. And it's like, no, sure, everybody can feel. But no, I for real, I do think that some people can't learn empathy or are incapable of that. So you're right there. Let me see this. I think that I'm gonna go really basic. Change a tire. So many people don't know how to change a freaking tire on the side of the road. Like, you know what? I think everybody needs to learn how to do that if you're gonna drive.
That's what I was gonna say too. Yeah, I was gonna say
Yeah.
everyone needs to learn how to change a tire, man. Like, doesn't matter if you're a guy or a girl. Like, you need to learn how to do that because that comes in handy for sure. Like, for sure. I also say everyone, and this is kind of like outdated now, but like, I feel like everyone should learn how to tie a tie. If you're a boy, girl, everyone should learn how to tie a tie.
Yeah, especially because you'll be at your best friend's wedding as his best man and saying, "Hey, can you tie my tie at the last second?" True story.
For sure, for sure.
Still need to learn how to tie a tie better in quicker time. Anyways, I just never have to do it, man. You know, it's like I never put on a tie, so I don't have to. Anyways, let's see. What's the next question here? I'm having to scroll past some of these because it's like, we already asked that. Okay, if you could instantly become an expert in any subject, what would it be?
Ooh, an expert in any subject? Man, I don't know. I'm not an expert in WWE or wrestling knowledge, but okay, I'll tell you what it is. I wish I could become an expert in being a mechanic and fixing cars. I feel like that would save me a lot of money. Like, just to be able to know, like, just to diagnose a problem with a car, like, instantly and be able to fix it.
Hearing based off of a tick. Yeah, it's like, oh, I hear, you know, to the point where it's like, oh, there's a ticking noise, and you know exactly what that ticking noise is without even doing anything. Yeah,
what about you?
Exactly. Mine is very, very simple and very, very predictable. I don't want to know everything about aviation. Just mainly, you know, a lot of how things work and how to fly everything. That'd be great.
But you know a lot about it. You're pretty much an expert. I would consider you an expert in the field.
Okay, I'll say expert in civil aviation, because people will always be like military, and I'm like, man, I don't know nothing about them. I know some about the military, but not nearly as much as commercial. So some areas maybe, but not across the board, I think. And then of course, but see, when I'm talking about like expert of everything, maybe I'm going too in depth, but I'm like, yeah, I want to know the inner workings. I want to know how the bushings work on these engines. You know, or like, I don't know, just knowing everything about everything with it.
I think people would consider you an expert in the world of aviation. I would say by today's standards, like, I would consider you, you know, a lot more than the average bear, I guess I should say.
I mean, I guess that is true. And hey, we've got our Av Nerd buddies out there. And if you're halfway through this episode and want to see more, you know, there's the Aviation Society out there on Instagram. Anyways, all right. So the next question, did I ask the last question? I did.
I got the question. What is the best trip that you've ever been on, and why was it so special? Like, what made it special for you?
Oh, man. A best trip. That's hard at all of them. I think it was the summer of 2016. I went to Florida with my grandparents, and we went to the Blue Angel Campground in Pensacola, Florida, and did all the fun old people things in campers. I don't know, man. That's always a fun summer vacation. What stuck out to me was, and we've talked about in the podcast, you know, I don't have the best relationship with my parents, but that summer really being out in Florida and things kind of made me start thinking about the relationship I wanted to have or not have with them. And so I think really a lot of that kind of turned the tide. And so that summer kind of helped move that process along, if that makes sense. So I'm fond of that. And then that was the last vacation I got to spend with my grandfather before he passed away. So it's kind of like multifaceted there. How about yourself?
I would say two, and they both involve Universal Studios. So my honeymoon this past, not this past year, the year before, that was a great trip just because yes, it was my honeymoon, but we just had fun. I really got to enjoy Universal Studios. It was fun. And then the first time I went to Universal Studios, that was like the last big family vacation that we had as a family with my mom and my dad and my brother. And I just remember like everyone had so much fun and we spent so much time together, and like, normally people would be fighting, but like nobody fought. And we still talk about that vacation to this day, just because it was such a fun vacation. It was the last big one that we all took together, which was in 2011, I think, or 2010.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've still yet to been to Universal. I still want to go. All right. Let's see what the next one is. Oh, this one's a good one. What is a piece of technology in this world that you could, that we could live without? Or you think we should get rid of? Is there a piece of technology that's like, did I ask that one? Okay.
I think you asked that one.
Oh, yeah, because I said printers. And you know, the first thing on my mind was printers. We use too much paper in this world anyways. Okay. Ooh, I already know the answer to this one, but I want to hear your answer, so we're going to ask it. Do you think humanity is headed in the right direction overall right now?
Do I think humanity's headed in the right direction?
Yeah, overall right now. I already know the answer.
Oh, but how much time you got, brother? How much time you got? I'll tell you no. You know why? Because people nowadays, man, people are selfish. People are selfish, selfish, selfish. They only care about them. They don't have grace for other people. Cancel culture's a big thing. Everyone talks about my truth this, my truth that. Truth is relative. I feel like there's really not any morals anymore. Like, yeah, there's like morals on big stuff. Like, of course, you know, don't be a pedophile and don't murder people. But like, other than that, there's no morals. People are just doing whatever they want without any consequences. And if you try to like say, hey, this is wrong, they're like, stop judging me. So no, I don't think humanity is headed in the right place. I think it's very hedonistic.
Oh yeah,
that makes
no,
sense.
absolutely. Now, follow up question. I know how you feel about this, but you know, I want to hear it again. Do you think COVID really accelerated a lot of that, or changed the culture to where it's way more selfish and way more promoting yourself over everyone else?
I agree with you on that for sure, because I think during COVID, everyone was so afraid. And it really invoked panic to where it was like, if somebody even, you know, came within 6 feet of you, people like, get away from me. And so we started to treat each other, and people were ugly about it too. Like, people were very ugly about it. And so
you didn't wear a mask. They were ugly about it. You know, like, I mean, there was all, yeah, it's a whole thing.
And so people only started to care about them and their family. And they realized, hey, we can be here, quarantined all together. We're fine. We don't really need anybody else. And I think being in that survival mode, people never really came back from that. So now that everything's opened up, it's like, oh, like, I'm just going to protect me and my family. I don't care about anybody else.
I agree with you on that. And I also think that things like, you know, we live in a great day and age for some things like delivery, grocery delivery to your home, or food delivery to your home, or different things like that. Amazon, stuff like that, right? And I think that had stuff to, you know, part to play with it too. If you had a pandemic back in the day and things like that, you still had to go to the grocery store, right? And you still had to go talk to people, and you still had to interact with people. A lot of the times in this case, you just got it all delivered to your house. Some people just never left, right? And I really think, you know, you do any sort of case study on people who are confined prison-wise or anywhere else, man, it changes some stuff. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of people got changed by that experience, you know, in a worse way, and a lot of their bad characteristics are coming out.
Next question is, what is a movie or TV show that you think everyone should see?
Man, it's kind of a tough one. I had a few flash through my mind, but when I said, okay, why would you say that? It's like, I don't know.
Well, just tell us.
Okay, the first one that flashed into my mind was Family Guy, and I'm like, why Family Guy? This is my own mind, and I don't understand. I don't understand why I would want people to watch Family Guy, but there you go. Just the early seasons. I don't know. Maybe it was because that's what taught me about life, that and Jerry Springer. Listen, coming home from school at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and watching Jerry Springer and a couple of trannies throw down, I mean, there's nothing more about learning about life than that. anyways, so yeah, I would say that. I did show my grandfather Team America, speaking of that, and I'm kind of ashamed of showing him that, but hey, culture. So yeah, I guess Family Guy, I guess that's what we're going with.
I would say, I don't know, there's a couple that I have in mind. Because everyone's like, oh, I hate The Office. Like, I don't think so much TV shows, because everyone has their preference, right? So TV shows is different, but movie, I don't know why I say this, but Soul Plane. Like, I feel like everyone needs to watch Soul Plane. I feel like everyone needs to watch The Lion King, because that's just a great movie.
Which, oh, I need to, oh, something else. I didn't even tell you this. I watched All About the Benjamins, too, so we got to talk about that at some point.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of it? Did you like it?
Oh, I thought it was funny. It was definitely the time period, and it was definitely Ice Cube. Man, that dude never takes that snarl off his face. That's like his signature.
Yeah. He's hilarious. I think also everyone should watch, I don't know, I guess maybe, I was thinking like All the Bad Boys, because I think they're just great movies. But I'm trying to think, like, what is one movie that's just like a cultural masterpiece? Okay, I'll tell you what it is. It's the movie Gaslight. No, Gaslight.
Shawshank.
You should definitely watch Gaslight. Everyone should see. It's an older movie, but everyone should watch that movie, because then they can understand where the term gaslighting comes from, and then they can actually use that term appropriately.
You know, there's one movie that I feel is really underrated, and I think it's just watch it because like it, But that's Flight of the Phoenix with old Dennis Quaid and Tyrese Gibson. I
You
don't know
love that
why.
movie, and I don't know why you love
It's
that
I don't
movie.
know. It's wild. I don't know. It's an interesting one. Anyways, well, is it any surprise that it's aviation related? Why do you think I like it? I don't think it's any surprise. Let's see. Ba-ba-ba. Ooh, this one's an interesting one. How do you think your life would change if you became instantly famous?
Oh, we kind of talked about this the other day. I mean, obviously, I think I would be probably more stressed out because you couldn't really go anywhere without, people wanting autographs. You definitely wouldn't have any privacy anymore. You would have to do a whole bunch of I think your work and your daily life would change if you were famous. Now, what am I famous for? That's the real question.
That is a real question. In my mind, if I saw Chris as famous, you know how I always seen you as kind of a Flavor Flav character, where it's like all the rappers love you and you're just like a hype man for somebody. Like, I don't know why, but in my mind, it's like Christopher Famous and like hyping people up. I don't know. I could see it.
Yep, that's me. Somebody said that. They were like, "You remind me of that little dude, Flava Flav." And I was like, "Yeah, he is my spirit animal." Because
I don't know what it is, but it's like you say Christopher Famous, that's what pops into my mind. I'm sure there's a lot of other things you could be famous for, but in my mind, you will always be the white Flavor Flav. I think for me, it would be the same thing. It would just, you got to get a car that's blacked out so people don't know it's you, or else they'd be all up on you. Now, some celebrities do great with it, right? I feel like they do fantastic with it, and they're able to be pretty private about their lives and things like that. But I mean, you hear all these stories about crazy stalkers and stuff coming for you and your family, and you don't know who they are. I hate that stuff. It's like, yeah, I don't think so.
if you could live in a fictional world from a book or a movie, which one would you choose and why?
Being live in that world.
If you could live in that world.
See, the problem is most of the time in books or movies, the world that they're in sucks, and they're having to fight out of a problem of some sort because it sucks. I'm trying to think, and you know what I'm trying to think of? I'm just trying to think of a movie that is set in a tropical beach somewhere. That I'm telling you, I don't know. Oh, there's well, I wouldn't want to live in that world either. I was gonna say there's a British murder mystery called Death in Paradise where they're in a Caribbean island, and it's like, yeah, I'd like to be there, but then come to think of it, it's a very small island and they tend to have a lot of murders, so I don't think so.
I was gonna say Friday and hang out with Craig and Day Day, but definitely not.
You just want to hang out in the hood with Craig and Day Day or what?
Yeah, I think I'd fit in for sure.
I mean, it was just up the street from Balfour, so it's
Yeah,
not
I
bad.
would probably want to live in like the Star Wars universe, 'cause if I could be a Jedi, that would be kind of cool.
I'm sure there's some cool planets around there, though. I know this. I wouldn't be going out to the Dagobah system. I wouldn't be hanging out around Tatooine. And I know this. I wouldn't be living on Coruscant. That thing looks like one big New York, and I don't think
I
so.
really want to be. Would you want to live in the world of The Office? Would you want to live in that world?
I guess if I could be Jim, to where you're like the number one salesman actually making money and just like secretly roasting people, yeah. Now if I had to be like a Dwight, hell.
Would you want to live in the Bernie Mac show?
Oh, actually, go back one step for The Office. Is it the Dunder Mifflin or is it Dunder Mifflin owned by Saber World? Which one are we talking about?
No, it's the OG Dunder Mifflin.
All right. So yeah, okay, yeah, I would do that. What was the next one? I'm sorry.
I said, would you want to live in the Bernie Mac show?
As long as I'm not one of the kids and I get to be Bernie with the money.
Or just like Bernie's
Oh, Bernie's
friend. Like,
friend.
you could just be
Yeah,
Bernie's
that's
friend.
fine. Go play poker and hear them. If you can only eat one cuisine or meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Ooh, Chick-fil-A. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. Cuisine? Oh, probably pizza, man. I don't ever get tired of pizza.
Really? I get tired of pizza. For me, it's Mexican food. I could eat Mexican food all day, every day, man. Just keep on giving. It's like in the morning, slap some beans in a tortilla, we're good. For lunch, give me a couple enchiladas with some rice and beans. For dinner, give me some like carne asada. We rolling, man. I'll probably be 400 pounds by the end of the week,
That's
but
also like the part of Texas you live in, because it's good over there and
I
authentic and
guess that's
stuff.
true. Man, even the fast food places are good around here, Mexican food wise. But anyways, all right, cool. What's my next one?
All right, oh, we're gonna get really deep here. What's the most valuable lesson you've learned from a failure?
Trust in yourself. That was the biggest thing, was I was putting my, in the failure that I'm thinking about, and it's a long story, so we're not going into it, but the failure that I'm thinking about was I did not trust myself. I didn't trust my gut. I knew what, you know, down deep that, hey, what you know and what you're saying is right, and you listen to other people. So I guess the two biggest things was don't listen to other people and trust yourself. And ever since then, you know, it's been a lot better because you listen to where your compass is guiding. And, you know, you're not always right, but at the same time, majority of the time, the people who are trying to sway you in a different direction have an agenda anyways, you know? How about yourself? What's a lesson?
I think it's to not be so hard on yourself, to give yourself grace for sure. Definitely with, you know, being married before and stuff. I think it was more like, hey, don't ever let anybody make you believe something about yourself that's not true. You know what I mean? Like, or doubt your worth or anything like that. And you got to put up boundaries and you got to put up or decide what your worth is, I think.
Well, I'm going to match your, man, ChatGPT kind of put these back to back like this, I guess. But the next question is also deep. What is a belief or something that you, or I'm sorry, what is a belief that you held strongly in the past and you since changed your mind about?
Ooh, a belief that I've held strongly in the past that I since changed my mind about. Oh, I'll tell you this. And please don't judge me for this. But I, being in my faith, I used to really think that if you struggle with depression or anxiety, that it was like a spiritual problem, and that you didn't have enough faith.
Because you don't have the faith of God.
Yeah, but that was like a young, naive thing. And having like experienced it myself, I learned that sometimes people just go through that because sometimes there's chemical imbalances, sometimes there's past traumas, past hurts that people need to work with, and that it's okay to like some things, like, yes, prayer fixes. But sometimes some things counseling fixes and prayer, and then sometimes it's counseling, prayer, and maybe some medical help, right? Like some medicine or whatever. And so that has been a belief that I have since changed.
Yeah, absolutely. One of my major ones, and some of you will be like, what? I used to not think that women belonged in leadership, like at all. And that's a, I know, right? That's a lot of how I was raised in the part of the country, and some of this, even some of the religion played into that a little bit. But especially when it came to when Hillary Clinton was running for president, that was my whole reason at the time of not wanting to vote for. It wasn't because of Benghazi. It wasn't because of any of the other stuff that people were saying. It was literally because it's like, nope, woman can't be president. Can't do it. Just not supposed to happen. It's always supposed to be a guy. And since I've changed that, it's like, you know, my mindset right now is I don't care what you are. As long as you don't, as long as that doesn't come in between things, and as long as you're not favoring one gender over the other, or however that works, and as long as you're doing a good job, who cares, right? I mean, as long as they're doing, they're supposed to do. I mean, England's had how many female prime ministers, and it worked out fine. So, I mean, they had Margaret Thatcher.
And how many queens have they had, and that worked out fine too.
And look how many queens America's had. Just look at RuPaul. All right, next.
Got him. Oh, all right. Mine is a two-part question, okay? First part of it, what is your favorite holiday just of all time?
Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, I knew that. Why is it your favorite holiday?
One, you can gorge yourself, and two, football. And a lot of times, I just like Thanksgiving food. So unless you make it funky, I've been to some people's houses or friends' givings where y'all be making some goofy stuff. All I'm saying is I like my turkey. I like my stuffing with not too much weird fancy stuff. It's just mostly bread. Don't screw that up. You know, I've seen like raisins and stuffing and crap. I don't think so, bro.
And this is the second part of my question. If you could create a new holiday, what would it celebrate and how would people observe it?
Man, I think this is really, I am going to pull from a TV show here. I think there's some merit to having Festivus. Have you ever heard of Festivus, Christopher? Festivus for the rest of us. Yes, it comes from a TV show. It's from Seinfeld, and it's George Costanza's dad. He used to celebrate Festivus, and pretty much the reason that I would want it's Goofy Holiday, and basically each family just makes up what you want. But the main bit is instead of a Christmas tree, you put up a Festivus pole, and it's just a pole in the middle of your house that you can wrap with garland or whatever. And one of the best things, and I think every family needs this, is the airing of grievances. That's the first thing that you do. You sit down at the table, and everybody's got a problem. You air it out right there. It's not a fun holiday. It's more of a joke holiday than anything, I guess. But Festivus for the rest of us. That's all I got to say. Do you have a holiday that you would invent? Is there one off the top of your head that you're like...
Yes, I would. The National WWE holiday. And what we do is we... I'm not advocating for this, if my job is listening, but we do the Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Smash two beers together? Yeah.
Do the beers together. And then instead of the 25 days of Christmas, you do the 25 days of WrestleMania. So you watch the first, you pick a match from each of the first five or first 25 WrestleManias and you watch it. So actually, I watch on Christmas Eve. This is a tradition that I started last year. I watched WrestleMania 24, the match between Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair. It was Ric Flair's retirement match. And then on Christmas Day, I watched Shawn Michaels versus The Undertaker from WrestleMania 25.
That's just a tradition now, huh?
Yep, it is a tradition. We also watch, leading up to Christmas, we watch all the Harry Potters. I don't know, it's not a Christmas movie, but it just feels like Christmas time when we watch Harry Potter.
No, I totally get that. One movie tradition that we actually have, believe it or not, my family has a movie tradition. Can you believe that?
No, what is your movie tradition?
Mainly my wife says, yes, we're watching this. But every Halloween we watch Rocky Horror Picture Show.
That's lovely.
Yeah, it's a very interesting movie. Anyways.
We can do one more apiece. It's okay if we go long.
Let's do it. All right. So, was it my turn or yours? What is an invention or a source of media that you think will be obsolete in 10 years?
An invention or a source of media? The Blu-ray player is already kind of obsolete. The DVD player is also obsolete.
DVD player too.
I don't know if the printers are going to be obsolete.
Probably not for the foreseeable future, mainly just because so many people still print things out and use paper copies of stuff. And until that goes away and everything is mainly digital, let's be honest, when all the other generations die off and there's nothing left but to have emails sent back and forth.
Maybe in 10 years it might be obsolete. I don't know if Facebook... I know people... Maybe because everything... Because the younger generations don't use Facebook as much. They're using Instagram and TikTok.
Well, they haven't for a while, man. I mean, it's been like that's been like 10 years. I mean, because I remember like 2013, 2014, it was already kind of like, it's Instagram, everything else. And Facebook was kind of only used for older people and people that were kind of behind on the times. I don't know.
What do you think?
That's a really hard one. You covered all the ones I was thinking about. I think that eventually, this is a bold prediction, but I eventually think that cold, hard cash is going to be gone. I don't think we're going to have cash at all. I don't think we're going to have paper money. I think it's going to go all to digital currency, which is not good.
But I like paper
money. I like paper money too, but so many people, our governments, they say they're printing the money, but it's really not going into circulation. So it's just not a lot of people have it. And think about this, man. The system that the banks and everybody else wants you to be in, You put your money in there. It's kind of like a video game, right? You put your tokens in there. It shows you how much money is in there, but it's not real money. It's just showing you what could be there, right? That money's gone. The bank's already spent it, done other stuff with it. I think it's more they want to get us to a place in society to where they don't have to do any sort of currency, and they can, you know, it's a lot easier for the government banks to dictate things. And I don't want to go all conspiracy theorist stuff, but it's like, I think they want it to go that way. It's a lot easier to control than the paper money route. So I think that's where it's going to head. And it costs a lot to do. It costs a lot to do paper money. And it costs a lot to do coins, especially like the penny. We've been losing money on the penny for a long time.
For sure. All right. Last question is a two-part question, okay? I ended on a good one, so think about it. If you could talk to your future self, what is one question you would ask your future self?
How much money we got? Nah, I guess that would be kind of the general question, like, how are we doing? Like, it's, I guess it's kind of hard because it's like, it's a very broad question, right? And the how you doing, the future me would know, you got kids? Like, are we in a house? Do we got money? You know, what's going on? Where are we at? What's the career look like? You know?
All right, then if you can tell your past self from 10 years ago anything, so yeah, you do the math. Because I didn't want to tell people how old you are on the podcast. If you could tell yourself or tell yourself something from 10 years ago, what would you tell 10 year, not 10-year-old you, but you know what I mean.
10 year before you. It's hard because I would probably tell them about everything that happened. I would get out of certain relationships sooner and say, you know what, like, or tell them like, hey, don't waste your time with this sort of thing. And from your future self and where you'd be sitting at, you'd be better off going this direction with things instead of wasting your time over in this other area, pretty much. Like, one of the things, and I'll elaborate, one of the things I would say is, I know you want to go to flight school and things like that. That's not going to work out the first time, and it's going to cause you some problems. So do yourself a favor, go ahead and get into IT. Don't go and follow certain people into the IT field, but go ahead and start getting your certifications. Because if I would have done that when I first got out of high school and things like that, at this point, it would be like this career. And of course, you're sitting here going hindsight, but if I had to tell myself anything, it'd be like, man, you'll make the bukus later to be able to fly, you know, but just set yourself up now to make that happen.
I think I would tell, kind of like you said, I think I would tell my past self, hey, like, get out of these certain relationships. Don't let certain people come between your friendship with you and Micah. I would say don't let the job dictate your time off. Like, don't kill yourself for the job that you're working now. I would definitely tell myself to get out of the law enforcement path and to start on the ministry path. Again, like, I think the biggest one would be like, hey, this relationship that you're in is not good for you, and you need to get out of it right now because you're gonna waste years of heartache and trauma and all that stuff, and you don't want to do that. And so I think I would tell past self, hey, you know what? You just need to worry about going to school, get an apartment with Micah, hang out, enjoy these years. Like, don't spend your early 20s just working away or caring about all this stuff. Like, have fun. Like, you're in your early 20s. I don't feel like I ever really got to, quote unquote, have fun in my early
And,
20s.
you know, if it all would have worked out, you know, I think even if it would have been just South Plains or whatever, that is one thing. It's like just go to school, go to college, and not just necessarily for the degree, right? In this day and age, as bad as it is, I think degrees are kind of worthless because everybody's got them. It's all about experience. That's what's getting people jobs. And so I wouldn't necessarily say go for the degree, but go for the fun. Like, college is supposed to be a fun time, right? You go and do classes and stuff. And I did have some fun in college, like with the people and things like that. I think if I would have balanced it a little bit better with my classes, I would have enjoyed it a lot more. But at the same time, I was in a bad relationship. You know, there's all sorts of crap going on. And so it's like, if we could have a redo to where it's like you and I got to hang out and we were just, you know, we had an apartment together and chilled for a few years, went to college, whatnot. I think it would have been a good time.
Yeah, I think I would have I think I also would have let them know, like, hey, like, you don't have much time left with your dad. Make sure you spend that time with him and ask him all the questions you want to ask him and all that good stuff.
You
So
know what's wild though? Thinking about this prompt, and we'll wrap it up, but thinking about this prompt, it's what's weird about it is I'm not 100% sure, even if I went back, future self, I've improved it to myself from the past of like, hey, this is me from the future 10 years from now. You know, it's 2024. You prove all that stuff. I'm not even 100% sure that 10 years ago me would have listened, even though I'm telling you straight
that's
up.
what I was gonna ask you. I was like, do you
I
think you
don't
would have
know.
listened?
That's a hard one, but I'm not 100% certain I would have. I probably would have been like, you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, probably like, oh, you don't know anything. Da-da-da-da. You're stupid. It's gonna all work out. And you're like, bro, I'm from the future. I'm telling you, it's not gonna work out.
It's like, I've already seen the path before you for the next 10 years. Don't do certain things. But, you know, me back then, I was so full of pride and so full of ego to the point where it's like, oh, yeah, well, I'll make it work. Even if it didn't work for you, I'll make it work kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. I was that way too, bro. I was so full of pride and ego. And you think you are.
Oh, yeah. You think you're invincible and you think you know everything and you think you're Iron Man. And none of it's true. So, anyways, man, but that was a fun episode. A lot of good prompts. You got to love AI for throwing some curveballs in there. Some of them I wasn't expecting. Some of them were a little generic and like, okay, I can, you know, it's pretty easy. But some of them really made me think. So
for sure. Well, tell them where they can go for all the socials and finding all the stuff.
At the Trash Can Network. It's at the Trash Can Network. Man. Trash Can Network is building and booming. We are just short of having our record number of subscribers. And man, I'm really happy with how that's booming. If you're into the aviation side of things, you know, we got the Aviator Society over on Instagram. That thing's booming as well and really growing. And I mean, we're to the point now, you know, it's insane. I really need to put this more on our TV Trash Can, or not TV Trash Can. Jeez, I'm talking the old branding. Our Trash Can Network Facebook page. We pretty much have daily videos going out, whether it's on Trash Can Network on YouTube or over on the Aviator Society. It's pumping out some content. So if you haven't seen it and you're interested, go ahead and check it out and give us a like and a subscribe over there. That would be great. And so, yeah, man.
Yeah, everybody can give us a check out except for my cousin Steven until he pays back my mom. Pay back my mom, Steven.
Yeah, Steven. Make me come over.
I haven't cut a promo on him in a couple weeks, so I feel like it was time.
Don't make me come to old South Carolina and find you, old Steven. Anyways, man.
Well, I think it's time to sign off. I'm Chris.
And I'm Micah.
And we built this donut box. This is the Donut Box Podcast.
Yes, we did.